Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the effective way to attend training, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what's a good attitude for training? What things should I take to training? And what should I do whilst I'm at training?
The countdown to 2021 is on. In the first 6 months of the year, we'll be visiting seven cities spread over four countries, and that's just in person. We're also hosting many different virtual conference events, which means we're actually making house calls. To get signed up to meet us wherever we are, check us out at manager-tools.com/training.
So now we do have a notebook and a pen.
Yes,
I'm really glad. There's now three paragraphs of me like telling you that you should have a pen, which is good. And as I said earlier, it's amazing to me how many professionals arrive at training without either a pen or some paper or both. And then they ask the trainer, can I borrow a pen? Which is just weird. Especially when it's Mark and it's his like $400 pen.
Yeah, right.
If they ask me, it's my, 20-cent Bic. But if it's Mark, it's a $400 pen. He's like, no, you can't borrow
He doesn't even want to lend me his pen. I borrowed it one time. He's like, I better get this back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. They're all antique. They don't make the ones that Mark likes anymore. So you have to find them on eBay. And so like the idea of him lending you his pen is like, no way. And it just makes me think, like, do you go to meetings without a pen and some paper? Do you go anywhere? Like, how many tasks did you forget to do because you can't write it down?
Right.
Like, how far behind are you on things because you couldn't write down what somebody asked you? Or are you one of those people that says, oh, well, unless you email me and remind me, I won't do it, which just is just unprofessional. Like, if somebody needs something from you, then it's your job to remember that they need it from you. Like, it's not their job to keep telling you, oh, by the way, I need that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, basic professionalism says you have a notebook and a pen. And before we go, no, having a laptop and taking notes on your laptop is not the same thing for the 87th time. Okay.
Right.
It's rude.
It is rude.
It means that you have something between you and the trainer. Like the top of the laptop causes a barrier between you and the trainer. And so they can't see what your hands are doing. They can't see the rest of your body language. So again, that makes it harder for them to teach you what they're trying to teach you. It makes a noise. It doesn't matter what kind of keyboard you have. It makes a noise.
You can hear it.
Especially if you're a girl and you have nails, that makes a noise. It's disturbing. Even if it doesn't bother you, it disturbs other people. Other people can hear you tapping away. And people think you're on Facebook or you're doing emails. I bet you the row behind you are trying to look at your screen to see what you're doing. And the person next to you is looking at what your fingers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're completely distracted by your need to be on your laptop.
Yeah.
And what's more, it's not as effective a note-taking device. Like there's about 20 trillion pieces of science that say handwritten notes are more effective. When you're typing, you have to type linearly. I can't say that word, but in a line, and you have to have headings. And when you write on paper, you tend to write more like a mind map, even if you're mind mapping, but sort of things have relation to each other on the page in a different way, which makes them easier to remember. If you type, you tend to write verbatim what was said. Whereas if you take notes handwritten, you tend to write it in your own words or you write the important words. And because of that, it means that you're processing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've all had that experience, like where you're copy typing and you realize you're reading and you're typing, but it's not, your thoughts are about something else.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is possible to look at something with your eyes and for your fingers to type and that be going through a subconscious loop and you're conscious to be thinking of something else. So if you're typing your notes in training, it's quite possible that your brain isn't even listening.
Yeah.
It's just not hearing or it's not taking any note of what's being said. So that's why it's not as effective. Now, you could use a tablet and a stylus. So if you've got an iPad and an Apple Pencil or you've got a Surface and a stylus that goes with it, I personally don't like that. I don't like the feeling of writing, although I do have a paper-like cover on one of my iPads, and I like it better, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, you got to make sure that the technology, you're using the technology as a note-taking device, and that's great. Yes. But guys, you got to make sure that that technology then doesn't have distractions on it that make it basically the same as a laptop, right? No notifications. Turn those off or go into airplane mode or something. Use it as a pad of paper, not as a device, because your devices are styluses and tablets and things. They work as a communication device as well as an implement to capture those notes. So use it for its purpose to capture notes, not as a communication device when you're note taking.
I have to tell you this. I have to look up the picture. I took a picture the other day. I was in Office Max.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I got to find the picture of what it was. Okay. It's by Tuul, T-U-L, which is a notebook company. And it says wireless charging notebooks. And basically it looks like a notebook, but you plug it in. And I took a picture so I could look it up. But that seemed to be like defeating the object. The whole point of it, or one of the advantages of a paper notebook, is it doesn't need charging.
Yeah, it's always fully charged.
Exactly. So I'm really confused about what this thing is that you charge. And that's, you know, if you're using a stylus and a tablet, that's the other thing, right? You've got to make sure the tablet is charged and the stylus is charged, and that you've got appropriate. So like sometimes you need Wi-Fi in order, or it needs to be online in order for you to take notes. So you got to think of all of those things. Whereas a pad of paper and a pen doesn't need any of those things. Makes it easy.
Yeah, exactly. Conference spaces rarely have plugins.
Oh, and they often don't have Wi-Fi, right?
They often don't have Wi-Fi. Exactly. It's actually astounding how many people will come to training sessions. And I've, to be clear, firsthand, I have tripped over someone's laptop cord and nearly pulled their device onto the floor before, because you're seated in the middle of the room. There's only a couple of plugins around the outside, like on the wall. And yeah, in our events, almost never do we have Wi-Fi. We're in conference rooms that are like in basements and things. They don't really have great Wi-Fi. You don't have wonderful cellular coverage. It happens all the time. And technological devices can really hinder, or you can be limited to that, especially if you're not expecting it. So bring your paper and your pen, just as easy. And speaking actually, while we're on that, speaking of our technological or technology devices, don't put your phone on your desk either. Now that is your phone, even if it's on silent, right? It's going to be vibrating. Ringing, right? It's going to be making noise. If it's screen up, the screen's going to light up when you get a notification, even if you can't hear it. And every one of those distractions will pull your mind off task. Again, you're training. You're there to absorb all the value you can get. But when your brain is having to half concentrate on all of the distractions, and the more there are, the more distracted you feel the need to, the urgency to check it, then the less you're going to absorb, the less you're even going to learn in the session.
And so, again, are all the people around you. Every time your phone pings, or it doesn't make a noise, it just lights up. Or, you know, even if it's turned over, some of them have, like, the glass goes to the sides now. And so even if it's turned over, you can see it light up. And everybody around you thinks, I wonder what's so important. Well, I wonder what their text says. Because, like, the most interesting thing on anybody else's phone is their text messages, right? Everybody wants to know. And if you have to take an urgent call, or you have urgent text messages that you can't take care of in the breaks in a day, it does not say, I'm so important that I have to be here. I have to take this call. I am so important that I cannot spend an hour away from my phone. What it says is, I'm so bad at delegating that I have to be responsible for everything. Or I'm so bad at organizing my work that I can't be away from my desk for an hour. Or I'm so incapable of concentrating that I'm here and also there. You know, it only sends negative messages. You know, the best people, the executives, can be away from their desk for a day or 2 days because they have people who can run the business without them, like people who know how to make those decisions, or they organize their work so that there's no crisis on one day, you know? And rarely, in my experience, when I've been in training, has anybody's actual crisis been a crisis?
Yes.
9 times out of 10, it's like, well, you either could have predicted that, or it could have waited, or you didn't organize yourself very well. And so that's why you're running around. Sometimes someone needs something right now, which you could have predicted ahead of time and done yesterday.
Exactly.
It never sends a good message. Never.
It absolutely does not. And like, I mean, guys, especially, and trust me, because we do management training and we teach people about delegation. If you're at a training session that's about delegation, or it's about time management, or it's about organization, and then you're distracted by things like this, to be perfectly clear, I know why you're in the training.
Yes.
That's why you're here, because you're not great at it.
Yeah, whatever your manager told you.
Yes.
It's not true.
It's not true.
Because you're rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, like, get it together. You need our help. Please pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So now, guys, you can minimize phone call, email interruptions in advance. That is, prepare for it by letting your colleagues, your entire team know you're going to be out for the day or between X hour and X hour. Please go to this person instead. I will not be able to respond. Put an out-of-office responder on your email, your voicemail, and any other instant message services that you've got, like Slack, right? Put yourself on do not disturb or away so that people know, oh darn it, like that message that I just sent will not be responded to, because you're trying to create an environment where you can concentrate.
And you might find if you do this that you end up feeling very sad that you're not actually as important as you think you are.
Right.
But that's actually a good thing.
It's actually a good thing.
Yeah. Tell yourself it's a good thing.
Folks, in addition to turning all of our existing public conferences and client conferences into virtual events, we also created some new products this year, one of which was Effective Remote Manager. I mention that because a lot of companies are discovering right now how much harder it is to manage at a distance, and we're not really sure when this distance is going to end. And so companies are focusing on managerial skills and abilities and improvements and so on. If you're thinking that way, we'd love to talk to you. Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, Effective Hiring Manager, and also Effective Remote Manager. All are a little bit different, but all are focused on individual managers making you more effective, and therefore, in the long run, making your organization more effective. Do reach out.
Okay, next, listen attentively. The best way to make sure you're listening is to take notes. Like, even if you don't think you'll need them later, and I'm betting you will, taking notes prevents your thoughts from wandering off. I've already confessed I'm the kind of person whose thoughts wander, and taking notes is what keeps me grounded in the room that I'm in and listening.
Your mind can't wander.
Mm-hmm. It also prevents you from multitasking, because multitasking, clearly, that means that you're only half listening or not even half listening. You can either listen and take notes, or you can look at your phone, write a shopping list, think about something else. Like, you can't do both. So listen and take notes, and that will stop you going off to wherever else your mind wants to take you.
And also, in addition to listening attentively, that means not starting side conversations with the others around you in the session, right? Now, when you do that, when you start talking to others, it is both disturbing the learning of the individual that you're talking to. That is, they can't listen attentively or focus or concentrate because now there's a conversation. But even those who are not part of your conversation, it's more difficult for them to listen attentively because they're distracted. It's like when you're on your computer, like normally people are like looking around, like, well, I wonder what they're doing. And they're looking at your screen. In this case, because you're probably talking quietly, people are trying to kind of listen in, like, what are they talking about? And not actively, but it's almost impossible for them not to. And additionally, it's harder for the trainer, right? The individual who's up there, who's presenting, who's trying to give you all of the guidance and answer those questions, whom you've then not given an opportunity to answer those questions because you're asking them to someone who is equally as uneducated about it as you are.
Right.
So getting their answer, not overly helpful. And to be perfectly honest, do you want somebody to come to your workplace and make your job harder?
Yeah. It's just like when you think about it that way, like, do you want someone to stand next to you and poke you every 2 minutes and then try and do your job?
Right.
No. So don't do it to someone else. It's just not fair. Okay. Here's one. We're on point four, participate. I'm going to break this one down as well. So first part of participate is answer questions. And answer the presenter's questions or the trainer's questions, right? There's a reason they ask you questions. It's called the Socratic method of teaching. It means that you're asked a question and then whatever you answer, like that's what takes you to the next piece of learning. And it's proven to be a good way for adults to learn, but it needs two people. You know, the trainer can't stand at the front and just speak. It has to be question, and then they have to have answers.
Uh-huh.
And if you hate the fact that training is sometimes someone standing at the front giving you a lecture and just speaking, then when you're in a training where someone is asking you questions, please answer them, because otherwise it does become a lecture and that's not as effective for you, for the trainer, or for anyone else.
Right. Attendees report all of the time that the training or the sessions they're at are not engaging enough. They want more engagement. And then when trainers give you the opportunity to be engaged, that is a back and forth, asking questions, looking for responses, a conversation, then attendees don't take the opportunity engage with the presenter. So, I mean, you can't say it wasn't engaging enough and then at the same time refuse to engage.
Yeah, that's not fair.
By not answering. Yeah, exactly.
And on video, this means answering questions verbally so that you can be heard by everyone. It's incredibly difficult to present and watch the chat window for questions or watch the hand up thing, which is tiny when you're the presenter, to deal with that, to be presenting, not to be getting any feedback, and to deal with the side questions and the side conversation. It's so hard.
Yeah.
So just... if you haven't been told that you can interrupt, then wait for the person to take a breath and say, has anybody got any questions about that? And say, I have a question. Or, when they say, what does anybody think about why? Have an answer and say it out loud so that everybody can hear you.
Absolutely. Now, additionally, we do want you to answer your trainer's questions. We also want to encourage you to ask questions. Right. Now that is interject. Again, as Wendy mentioned, sometimes trainers, I know we do all the time, say it's fine to interrupt me. Go ahead and interrupt me. If not, wait for a good juncture to do so. Ask your own questions. Please try and do it politely and kindly. Now, you'd think we'd not have to say to people, ask your questions in a kind and polite fashion, but experience tells me that we do have to.
Yeah.
Let you guys know to ask kindly. So something like, for example, oh, I'm sorry, can you just go back just a titch? I don't think I followed that. Did you say it's my responsibility to take notes in an O3? Right? Or, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't think that I understand. We're not having one-on-ones for 3 weeks. Is that right? I'm sorry. I think I'm confused. Feedback's for us, but we're giving feedback to our directs, right?
I'm sorry says a lot about the tone of the question that's going to follow. What a trainer is teaching you is not an attack on what you do now or an attack on you or what you do in the future. It's weird that we want people to give 9 pieces of positive feedback for everyone negative. And the first question someone asks is, but what happens if I've got a really bad person? Do I have to give them positive feedback? Like, okay, you can ask that question in a different way. And telling you to give 9 pieces of positive feedback wasn't an attack. It wasn't you're doing this wrong. This is a recommendation, and we have a reason for making that recommendation. And if you don't understand why that recommendation, or you don't understand how that recommendation would happen in the case of having a really bad direct, then you can ask that question. But don't ask it as if somebody told you you were doing what you were doing wrongly. Do I still need to give them positive feedback?
Yeah. Right?
You could say it in no tone at all. You can say it as if you weren't attacked and still get the answer that you need. Right? Because the answer is that depends on how bad they are.
Right.
But yes, probably you want to give them some positive feedback to encourage them to be better in the future rather than always bashing them, which will make them disengaged, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Even worse. But yeah.
Exactly. So you don't need to fight against something that a trainer is telling you.
That's such a great point. This is not an attack on you.
No. And you can ask a question to gain understanding, not to disagree. If you say something like, well, how's that going to work for my bad directs? Everybody in the room knows that you're being disagreeable.
Yeah.
And you're pretending to, you're phrasing it as a question, as a way of pretending to be nice about
yes.
it. Yes. Right? And everybody in the room knows, including the trainer, that's what you're doing. So don't, right? Just phrase it as a question, a genuine question. Or if you disagree, say, I'm sorry, in my experience, this is what happens when I do that. Am I misunderstanding the circumstances? Or have I just come across some really bad directs? Or, you know, how does that fit together? You don't need to be disagreeable.
Yeah, guys, there are polite ways of gaining additional knowledge and additional information from your trainer. And we'd also recommend that you talk to your trainer during the break about it as well. I mean, I understand that there are some things that your trainer will say to you that you do not agree with. Asking in front of a group in a pointed fashion doesn't add a lot of value. And to be perfectly honest, if your question or your statement was one that was so unimportant that you weren't going to gain further information or guidance on in the break, your trainer knows that it was just said to be difficult, not that you wanted to gain understanding. I mean, there are multiple breaks, and I know for as a trainer, I on multiple occasions, I will stay afterwards in my virtual training or in person. You can send me an email. This is my personal email address. If you get a question and then that person doesn't even think that the answer is valuable enough to hang out afterwards or send an email, then it wasn't an important question. It was said to make a point to the other people in the room that you're being disagreeable about
it. The point of training is not to prove you right and the trainer wrong. The point of training is to listen to a different perspective and then to decide whether or not you're going to implement it. And it's almost as if the listening and the training and the learning happens on one day and the deciding to implement happens on an entirely different day. Split the two. If you listen and learn on one day and decide whether or not you're going to implement on a different day, that stops you having these like moments where you're just like, well, I'm not going to do that. And that, well, I'm not going to do that, comes across in your body language, even if you don't say it out loud. And you can say things politely, you know, you could say, hey, I'd like to know more about that data behind the recommendation. Is there somewhere you could point me or can we talk about it afterwards?
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And if somebody is being disagreeable, support the presenter. You know, like it's likely that you understand the attendee's point of view better than the trainer, especially if they're an outside trainer coming to your company and it's your team or your division. It's likely that you understand those circumstances. And that therefore you can kind of mediate that conversation by, you know, interjecting. So, you know, if somebody says, well, that's never going to work here, you could say, hey, Bob, I can see your point because on the shop floor, we don't usually have time to do that. But I think you and I can talk afterwards. I have some ideas, like, and I'd love to share them about how we could maybe meld the two. Or you could say, hey, Sarah, I think Bob's thinking that, you know, it's difficult for us because our people are on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience doing that in this kind of environment that we could take on board? You know, there's things you can say to be the mediator.
Yes, absolutely. And again, guys, this in my mind speaks again back to the being engaged, right? Contributing to a group conversation. And if somebody's like, well, I don't think there's anything I could delegate. And you're like, well, actually, I have a couple of ideas. Well, what about this? And helping the other person open their mind to the experience is the role that you have the opportunity to play in that case. Now, in addition, guys, to asking and answering questions, we would next then say, encourage others to do the same. Encourage other people to answer and ask questions as well. If you've gotten this far into the cast, we'd think that we've already convinced you fully that participating in training is both the professional thing to do and means that you're going to get the most out of the training, even if, to be clear, maybe it's not the best way you can imagine spending your day, but you'll get all that you can get from it, having put forward the investment. So we would have you do the same for others. That is, encourage other people to act in the same way. Encourage them to answer and ask questions in a nice fashion. For example, you're in a training session and the person sitting beside you is like, hey, I don't really understand this. I would say, okay, that makes sense. Why don't you ask the trainer? Or do you want me to ask? You know, like some people aren't going to immediately take the bait of, and they haven't listened to this podcast, they don't know about the answer and ask question thing. You want to set a great example by doing that yourself. And if at a break, somebody's like, I didn't really get the part about this. Oh, that's a great point. You know what? I don't think it was that clear. When we get back, why don't you ask for clarity on that? Because I think maybe not, there was a couple of other people that may not have got it as well.
Or if you think that that person is super shy and isn't going to say anything, then you can say, you can be the person and say, hey, Bob and I are just a little bit confused.
Right?
Just, you can say that you're confused when you're not. Like, or if somebody asks a question, you can say, that's a good question. I was wondering that too. Like, oh, yeah. Or, oh, I'd never have thought of that. That was a really good question. Or, oh, great answer. Like we know if somebody answers the trainer's questions, oh, great answer. Or that's what I would have said, you know. Oh, I was thinking that. Or if someone asks a question and the trainer then responds, then you can say something like, oh, thank you for answering that way. That explanation was really helpful to me. It's just positive phrases which encourage people to do what's right. It's the feedback model, encourage future behavior. And basically, you're saying every time someone does something that is what we want them to do, you say something nice about it. And human nature means they'll do it more.
Exactly. Absolutely. All right. That takes us to the last piece of our guidance for this cast, and it is to say thank you.
And you would think that we would not have to say this. You'd think that everybody was brought up by their mothers and fathers and whoever else brought them up to say please and thank you. And when someone makes an effort for you, you say thank you. But it's amazing how many people don't. Like, it doesn't matter whether you wanted the training or not, whether you enjoyed it or not, whether you thought it was valuable or not, whether you thought the presenter did a good job or not. Say thank you. Say thank you for the effort that they put in. Right? You don't need more explanation than that. But I will tell you a story. So I organized some training for Toastmasters and the first speaker didn't turn up. It was a disaster. The first person didn't turn up. And the second speaker then jumped in to do that session and we swapped them around so that the other one had a chance to arrive. So the guy who should have gone second jumped in and went first for me. But then he overran his time by a third. So he should have been an hour and he went to an hour and 20 minutes. And several times he said, I know Wendy wants me to stop. And he kept going. So at the end, we went through the day and I sent him a note afterwards and said, thank you for being willing to jump in and go an hour ahead of when you were supposed. Because the idea of, you know, suddenly, you know, you think you're presenting at 11 and suddenly you're presenting at 10.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
It's hard for anybody. And he was willing to do it. And that saved my day. And so I was grateful for that. And then he sent me an email that said, I am so sorry about overrunning. This is what I'm going to do about it. You know, I feel bad about it and so on. And I was like, that's fine. You know, it didn't matter that he did something that made things harder. I was grateful for the thing that he did that made it better, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what the training is, you can find something, even if all it was the person was willing to stand up in front of a room and speak for an hour, be grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to leave true and honest feedback.
We do, yes.
But the whole 9 out of 10 because nobody's perfect thing is really annoying.
I just don't give tens. It's not what I do.
It's not clever. It's not smart. It doesn't make you look good. It makes you look stupid and mean. So don't do it. I could say this in a nice career tools way, but I'm just going to say it's stupid and mean and don't do it.
Right. Guys, and saying only negative things is also mean. Like there was one positive thing in that entire day of training. Find it and put it on the feedback form. And I know I've been in training before, guys, and I've gotten a 0 because the room was too cold.
How's that your fault as the trainer?
When that happened, I then refunded their money because they got a 0, which, guys, getting a 0 out of 10, that's how we do that, the NPS score, means you got no value. And because it's a company we work with a great deal and who loves our guidance and is great supporters, that person's manager asked to go on the phone with me. And we had a call and we were talking and he said, well, he gave you 0 because like he was really cold and uncomfortable, but he did get some value. And my response to that was, he got no value. Mm-hmm. That person gave me a 0 because they were unhappy about the temperature.
And to go back to the whole read your emails thing, you get 4 emails ahead of training and all 4 of them say, it's going to be cold because that's the way we present.
Right.
Now, if you're cold in our training, it's your problem. It means you didn't read the emails. Yeah. I'm not going to be nice about it. Apparently, this is the cast where I'm not nice.
All right. It happens.
But Sarah's right. Like, there's no way you got 0 value.
Right.
And you're just being mean. And just remember that that trainer is a human being who's doing their job to the best of their ability. Don't punish them for something that's not their fault, or even if it is their fault, even if you thought they were the worst trainer in the world, they put in the effort. Let's just be nice. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And giving someone a 0 does not help them get better.
It does not help them get better, I assure
you. Especially
you.
When it's something like the temperature, which, you know, has nothing to do with anything. Like, attending training is the chance to prove that you are the professional you say you are. You can do your homework, show up early, participate, and say thank you. And it's not hard. There is nothing difficult in that. And yet, we see every day people fail to do any of these things. If you thought this cast was ridiculous because it was so simple, I'm sorry, but it's all based on evidence. And clearly, 90% of people don't think this is simple and obvious. But now you know you can be the one-eyed man in the land of the blind, and you can be the one who makes training pleasant for everybody, including the trainer. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with another topic.